Comedy Capers. Mustaches and smacking our boots with our riding crops, for this edition of Comedy Capers is dedicated to the grand old character of the 10-20-30 melodrama, the villains. What would the theater of the 90s have been without the viper from the city who'd done wrong by our little Nell? The frock-coated monsters who shouted, "Give me back the papers or I'll tear up the child." Curse you, Jack Dalton. This is your program dedicated to villains. And here we go!
Have you heard about the snake?
Ha ha, the snake, ha ha ha!
If you wind, we will be!
Ha ha, we'll be! Ha ha ha!
When the wind begins to ha ha ha!
Ha 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 ha!
If you wind, we will prowl then! He'll rise before your eyes and laugh and glee! He got your number, you'll never slumber, for he will long to try to get you home, like a white ghost, he's in the air, when you grab him, he isn't there, he'll make you shake, keep you wide awake and home. How you shiver, Sandman, come stealing round, but at a glance, he hasn't got a plan, there's no doubt, there's just a doubt, you'll pay, there's no mince pies, rare bits, everything you ain't, keep stumping, thumping, yelling, it's great.
Curses and curses. The first villain to appear on this villainous program is Bill Ozark, the young man of the mountains, the original slow brain through Arkansas, Bill Ozark.
Hi, Tom.
Bill.
Tom, I just heard you say something about villains.
That's
you
right.
Know, I've always thought that the food we eat has more to do with making villains out of us than anything in the world. I felt mean ever since breakfast.
Yeah, well, what did you have for breakfast?
Well, my wife didn't cook a thing in the world but rhubarb.
Rhubarb?
Yeah. You know what rhubarb is, Tom? It's just like celery, only it's bloodshot.
Tell me, isn't your wife accomplished in the culinary art?
What kind of art is that, Tom?
Culinary. That means anything that has to do with cooking. It's a cooking expression.
Then my wife's got a culinary expression, Tom.
What do you mean? What do you mean your wife has a culinary expression?
She's got a greasy pan.
Well, that's better than a dead pan anyway. What is the matter with your wife's cooking? Tell me.
Tom, she can't boil water without blistering.
No, I never heard of such a thing. I never heard of such a thing.
You never heard of water blisters?
No.
Tom, I shouldn't be talking about my wife. You know, she hasn't been herself since her brother's accident.
Oh, tell me, what happened to her brother?
Well, he laid down on the side of a road and went to sleep, and a 10-ton Mack truck loaded with bricks ran right over his chest.
Ran right over his chest and killed him, of course.
Yes, it killed him. He always did have a weak chest.
Well, let's get off your wife's family. I saw you out at the fair the other day. You were going into the war exhibit.
Yes, I was going in there to look for my wife.
Well, what in the world made you think your wife would be in the war exhibit?
Well, the man out front said they had a large collection of old battle axes inside.
Oh, that's bad. Bill, you should be ashamed to talk about your wife like that. Why, marriage is an institution. An institution.
That's right, an institution, huh?
And if your love for your wife doesn't make you cover up all of her petty faults and accept her as she is, why, listen, love is blind.
Now, let me see. Now, marriage is an institution and love is blind, huh?
That's right. Now, you know what marriage is?
Yeah, I know what it is now, Tom.
Yeah, well, what is it?
Marriage is an institution for the blind.
That was Bill Ozark. If he hadn't been born in the mountains, he'd still think an Ozark was a boatload of animals. But now, the Foster Trio, three little villainesses. They have a mortgage on your heart, and if you don't give in, they'll foreclose. Come on, babies, foreclose.
Every star above knows of one alone, sweet to just you. One on high knows the reason why, sweet Sue, just you. No one else, it seems, ever shares my dreams. I'm without you, dear, I don't know what I'd do. In this heart of mine, live all the time, sweet Sue, just you. Every star above knows the one I love, sweet Sue, the drum, just you, just you. Bum bum balulululando, sweet Sue, sweet Sue, just you, just you. Bum bum balulando, balulululando, I'm without you, dear, I don't know what I'd do. What I do, bum 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 bum.
The Villainous Foster Trio, three beautiful girls who will break your heart just like that. And now, radio's two most deeply dyed villains, Clark and Cleary, the two-man stock company with their Gilded Lily Guild players, the stock company from the stock yards, Clark and Cleary.
Take care, beware, Clark and Cleary are on the air. The world fairly reeks with villainy, and hence our dramatization of the Infernal Triangle. We take you to the home of Isaac Cheatham, senior member of the international banking firm of Hugh Ketchum and I Cheatham. Cheatham, who was married to a Russian princess, has just reached home after a difficult day at the office.
Good evening, Mr. Cheatham, sir.
Has my wife returned, Rogers?
No, sir, not yet, sir.
When she returns, tell her I wish to see her immediately.
Yes, sir, very good, sir, very good, sir.
Any phone calls, Rogers?
No, sir, but the man was here.
The man?
Yes, sir, the man from the finance company. He took the radio, sir.
Took the radio. What's the date, Rogers?
October 23rd, sir.
October 23rd. The man's right. You may go, Rogers.
Very good, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, here's a pretty kettle of fish. Married a few months to a Russian princess, and now I find she's having an affair with another man. And to make matters worse, that man is not only supposedly my best friend, but my business partner. And then to make it more unbearable, the radio. Woe is me.
Ah, Isaac, my friend.
Don't talk to me, you snake in the grass. You wolf in sheep's clothing. I know all about your affair with the princess. I ought to kill you.
You dare threaten me, Isaac Cheatham? So, I'm in sheep's clothing, am I? I'm a wolf, am I? Why, for 2 cents, I'd...
Stop! I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf. Oh,
Uriah, how come you do me like you do?
Oh, come, Isaac. Don't be so tragic. After all, a woman is a woman. The world is the world is full of them. The princess can't love us both. Now I have a plan that will prove whether she loves you or whether she loves me.
A plan? What is it?
I have here two revolvers. You take one and I take the other. Then, when we hear her coming, we'll both lie down with the guns beside us, just as though we were fought a duel.
Yes, yes. Go on.
She'll see us lying there, think we are both either wounded or dead, and then rush immediately to the one she loves.
A splendid idea. Uriah, you're a genius.
Hush, quiet. Here she comes. I hear her coming down the hall. Lie down here. Lie right here.
I see. Where are you, darling?
Oh, my goodness, what's happening here? Rogers!
Oh, yes, milady.
Look, Rogers, on the floor. My husband and his partner, they're toining up to be a couple of gangsters.
Oh, my word. Oh, good grief. What here with all sorts of things? What shall I do? Oh, milady.
What should you do? Stand there like a dummy? Why don't you find out something? Find out whether they're dead or they're alive.
Oh, this is terrible. This is awful.
So what did you find out?
Oh, they're both dead, sir. Dead.
Oh, Rogers, I'm so happy. I
beg your pardon, my lady, but may I ask just what that means in English?
Yes, Rogers, my dear. That means come up and drink me sometime, won't you?
Well, that's better than having the lawyer come up and sue me sometime. And here are two high-hatted mustache twirlers, Gillum and Gailey, who, to be really villainous, will attempt to be funny. Gillum and Gailey.
Well, Kenny, we're supposed to talk about villains. Do you know any?
Sure.
Have you ever met my mother-in-law? There you go, picking on your poor old mother-in-law.
Well, she started it, Ted.
How did she start it?
Isn't she the mother of my wife?
Well, maybe you're right. By the way, for a perfect example of a villain, that fellow you were with last night is the best. Who was he, Kenny?
Say, that was my brother.
Oh, excuse me. I should have noticed the resemblance.
I don't know whether you're apologizing or not, Ted.
Oh, just forget it. Listen, Kenny, tell me something. You say that was your brother?
Yeah, that was my brother.
Okay, answer a question for me then. He was wearing a pink shirt, a yellow tie.
Yellow tie.
A blue suit.
A blue suit.
A brown hat.
A brown hat.
White shoes.
White shoes.
And green socks.
Green socks, that's right. My brother's a fancy dresser.
I'll say he's a fancy dresser. What does he do for a living?
Why, he's a plain clothes man.
Oh. What have I done to deserve this? Speaking of villains, Ken, you look like one in that hat you're wearing. Where did you get it?
Oh, I got that hat on a sale.
On sale, huh?
Sure. I was going by the store and it came sailing out.
That's rather old, Kenny.
Well, so was the hat.
That reminds us of a song.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Somebody stole my gal, the villain. Somebody stole my gal, doggone it. Somebody came and took her away. She didn't even say she was leaving. Those kisses I love so. She's getting now, I know. But she, I know that she would come to me if she could see her broken-hearted, lonesome pal. Somebody stole my gal.
Somebody stole my.
Somebody stole my gal.
If you can think of anything more villainous than Gillum and Gailey's humor, you can have it. And now we'll send the villains back to the melodramas, and we hope you have noticed that although this was a villainous program, we did not sing,
Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf?
And so this edition of Comedy Capers comes to an end, but we'll be back with you again soon, and remember, villains may come and villains may go, but bill collectors go on forever.